Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Dr. Dove Zakheim, Undersecretary of Defense, Comptroller, and Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Defense. Good morning, Dove.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Tom Berlin. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Dove.
Good morning, Tom.
Dove, let's start by sort of setting context for the Department of Defense. Could you describe its programs and missions to our audience?
The Department of Defense's mission is pretty straightforward. It's exactly what its name implies. Our job is to defend this great nation, protect its values. We send our young men and women overseas to fight its wars and to win them. And we have a pretty good track record.
From a financial perspective, the department is larger than most corporations. Could you give us a perspective in terms of its financial statement, assets, liability, how you think about it?
It's huge. Our assets exceed $680 billion. Our liabilities exceed $1,400 billion. Now you might say, my God, this is a bankrupt corporation. How do they stay in business? Of course, one of the fundamental concerns that I've had is that we have not had the kinds of clean, detailed financial statements that will really tell the true picture. And the true picture, of course, is that our assets and liabilities are pretty much in sync. We are now, for the first time, getting a handle on the value of our actual military equipment. Those assets alone bring our total assets over $1 trillion. We are spending a lot of time, effort, and money to come up with more detailed liabilities as well. Environmental liabilities are a good example. More detailed information on our holdings, on our equipment, on our buildings, and so on. But at least this gives you a sense of our size, which I guess exceeds what Walmart, GM, Ford, and ExxonMobil combined. I mean, we're big.
You've now been in this current position as the DOD CFO for about 2 years. Can you tell us a little bit about that position and what it entails?
Let me tell you, in the 2.5 years, actually, that I've been on this job, I discovered first and foremost that whereas in the real world, as it were, a CFO is more important than a comptroller, because the comptroller is in charge of budget estimates, and the CFO is in charge of how the money is spent. In the Defense Department, a comptroller has always been more important than a CFO. And in fact, if Congress had not passed an act in the early 90s, I don't think anybody would have paid attention to the CFO mission. I am the first comptroller or CFO that, at least my staff tells me that, maybe they're just being nice to me, that has actually personally reviewed financial statements and footnotes. That gives you a sense of the proportions. Now, why? It's not that we're crazy or anything like that. It's the nature of our system. The United States government runs on the basis of a proposal from the administration for approval by the Congress. We submit budget estimates. The Congress reacts to those estimates, approves those estimates, and that becomes our budget. That is the focus of so much of our activities. The issue of budget execution, of what we would call cash management, is important to the Congress, but clearly less so than the overall budget issues. We, for instance, are only allowed to move around about $2.5 billion worth of our budget each year. That's my cash management flexibility. I've asked Congress for a lot more. On the other hand, I go to Congress for budgets that are approaching or in the vicinity of $400 billion. In that kind of context, the comptroller is so much more important than the CFO. So that gives you a little bit of sense of why things are so different. And what I found was that it was absolutely essential in order to have credibility with the American people when you're asking for budgets of $400 billion plus, that not only are we intelligible to our congressional overseers, to the members and their staff, but to the American people. The American people don't know appropriations accounts. What they know are financial statements. That's why we have worked so closely with the Office of Management and Budget and the General Accounting Office to get to the point where we will have clean audits. And that is something that will take several years. It is a maximum priority for me. And everything else is kind of fallout from that. To get the CFO part of my job on an equal par or footing with the comptroller part of my job.
Dove, I'd like to follow that thought. Your career has spanned many areas, including the private sector. Can you give us a quick recap on your career and how it's influenced your job?
Well, I started out briefly in the private sector as a banker in England. And once you're a banker, you're very, very sensitive to money. People want it. You have it. Sometimes you're lending it. You're moving it around. You're dealing with other banks and so on. From there, I went to the Congressional Budget Office, and that gave me a tremendous perspective on how the Hill operates. One of the blessings of our government, of course, is that we do have a separation of powers. But very often, people in the administration, the executive branch, don't really understand how the legislative branch works. So I was fortunate in working at the Congressional Budget Office under a very impressive woman named Alice Rivlin, who's probably one of the brightest people I've ever worked for, and was able to both get my feet wet in terms of defense programs, but also in terms of how the Hill works. And then I came over to the administration. I worked on the policy side of the Office of the Secretary of Defense under Mr. Weinberger in the Reagan administration, and was, in effect, policy's person for working defense budgets, defense programs, defense acquisition, working with the comptroller office, and so on. And then I was in the private sector 14 years. So by the time I came back, I had a lot of different perspectives that I certainly would not have had, say, if I had simply marched up the comptroller chain in the Department of Defense.
How did the previous experience in the department help you?
The Department of Defense is a large and complex organization, and one has to understand, first of all, that there is a fundamental dichotomy in terms of how the department is viewed by its different parts. The Office of the Secretary of Defense views the department as essentially a corporate headquarters, which then has different profit centers called the service departments or the defense agencies. But it is managed from the center. The departments in particular historically have seen the Office of the Secretary of Defense as a holding company, where the real decision making is made by them and not by the Office of the Secretary. Now, we have a secretary who brings two in particular unique characteristics to this job. The first is he's been secretary before. The second is he was a very successful businessman for 25 years since the last time he was secretary. He clearly sees the role of the Office of the Secretary as actively hands-on managing the direction of the department. And in turn, he wants the department to run in a business-like way. So that what we have, therefore, is a very energetic leader, and leadership is key to whatever you're going to try to do anywhere, but certainly in a department as large as DOD, who is pushing the rest of the department, these far-flung agencies, which themselves have budgets of in the tens of billions, actually in the hundreds of billions of dollars, to coordinate, work together as a single unit. For me, with not as much experience either in terms of years or in terms of level as the secretary, but at least something analogous to it, this was a very comfortable fit because it allowed me, bringing those perspectives that I had mentioned, to try to get my arms around some of these fundamental questions about how the department functions, bringing more emphasis on financial management, on cash management, on what we call execution, not just getting your budget, which is an estimate, but executing it, how you spend it, when you spend it, and how you move money around when you discover that your estimates are indeed only estimates and that estimates change during the course of a budget year.
What was the analogous experience for you? Was it the dealing with the complicated financial transactions elsewhere? I mean, there's not another scale-like organization.
No. The analogous experience was twofold. One, no matter how large or small an organization, there is always going to be, if the organization is relatively of any kind of size, some kind of dichotomy between corporate and divisions. And even in my small company, we only did, about 30 or 40 million in revenue a year. I mean, it's a blip. It doesn't even qualify as a rounding error in the defense budget. You need a microscope to see what we were doing. But nevertheless, you have divisions and with their own fiefdoms, and you have corporate. So that was one thing that really gave me a sense into what was the department's, one of the department's fundamental concerns or cultural outlooks that perhaps needed some changing. The second, which derived from my experience the last time in government, and I believe would also go to your previous question, was that I found that there are two ways to do business in the department, indeed in the U.S. government. One is to essentially just protect your turf and fight with everybody and try to gain turf. You measure your importance by the number of people who work for you, by the number of directors under you, and this kind of thing. The other, which bitter experience taught me was infinitely more successful, is you actually coordinate with folks. You work with others. One thing that happens when you work with others is that those who really don't want to work won't work. And very often, it was my experience that if you actually went to somebody and asked them to do something, on the one hand, they were pleased that you asked them. On the other hand, they didn't really want to do it. And very soon, you discovered who were the good people and who weren't, but you never excluded anybody. You need other people's cooperation. You can't force a revolution in financial management down people's throats. We are not Trotsky and Lenin. We can't shove it down people. The system doesn't do that. The way the system works is if it is against the change, it will nod and agree and repeat the buzzwords and wait till the leadership leaves.
What are the challenges of coordinating with the various stakeholders in the financial community in the department? We'll ask Dr. Dov Zakheim for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour returns.